You are listening to local and regional news produced by KMUN with help from our news partners. I'm Skylar Butenchin. It's Friday, September 19th. Late last week, now former Clatsop Community College board member Tim Lyman abruptly resigned from his position. His exit leaves the college board's Zone 3 position with only partial representation. Lyman had not previously notified college leadership that he would be resigning. Clatsop Community College president Jared Hoag said he and the board instead received a notification of Lyman's resignation from the county clerk's office. In his resignation letter, Lyman alleged that the college board had repeatedly violated state law, but he did not offer any specifics. The Clatsop Community College Board is now seeking applicants to fill Lyman's position until June 2027. The Zone 3 position encompasses Clatsop County's coastline from Hammond down to Arch Cape and east to the Neocanicum Junction. This story comes to us through a news partnership with The Astorian. Read more online at dailyastorian.com. Last year, thousands of Eugene-area patients were dropped by Oregon Medical Group after it was acquired by a subsidiary of United Healthcare. A bill sponsored by Oregon Senator Jeff Merkley would ban insurance companies from owning medical clinics. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White reports.
Merkley says his goal is to return Oregon Medical Group and the Corvallis Clinic to local, doctor, or nonprofit ownership. He says insurance-owned healthcare is a conflict of interest.
When you have a for-profit insurance company that owns a medical clinic, their whole goal is to dump high-cost patients out. And they dumped thousands of people out after they purchased Oregon Medical Group in Eugene. And that is a terrible way to run a healthcare system.
The bill would bar insurance companies that own clinics from getting federal Medicare Advantage contracts. It would also require insurers to divest from their current ownership stakes in medical practices. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White, reporting.
11 men filed a lawsuit this week against the Oregon Youth Authority. They said they were sexually abused by former Dr. Edward Gary Edwards at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility. Attorney Peter Jancy said at a press conference on Wednesday his team now represents 62 victims of Edwards' abuse. Edwards died in February. Jancy said the lack of accountability at McLaren is responsible for the staggering number of victims.
This was someone who, despite clear warning signs, was given deference for nearly a 45-year career and was given unfettered access to a huge population of people.
The attorneys also said boys who tried to speak up were sometimes punished and were told no one would believe them. Jancy said with other lawsuits, there could be as many as 72 total victims. The cases will be heard in federal court starting November 2026. Millions of acres across Oregon called roadless areas could soon lose protections. Trump administration leaders say they need access to fight wildfires, and roadless rules are red tape that interfere with business and innovation. Environmental advocates say those rules have been key to protecting watersheds, endangered species, and recreation opportunities. KLCC's Rebecca Hansen-White has this report.
Trailer for Bravo is
I'm aboard a small plane flying over the Willamette National Forest. We've passed a patchwork of private timber, rows of vibrant uniform Douglas firs, interspersed with clear cuts. Both private lands and the public lands we've flown over have swaths of burned forests. The Waldo Lake Wilderness and the surrounding roadless area, however, has larger, old-growth trees. Carpet of several species mixed with the occasional mountain lake or meadow. There are few roads below us. The only one clearly visible from the sky hasn't been maintained for decades.
It's a pretty dramatic difference. There's just not as many squiggles on the landscape already in the wilderness.
Yeah. Especially if you look to our left, there is almost none.
That's Cascadia Wildlands field organizer Madeline Cowan and our pilot Gary Kraft of nonprofit EcoFlight. On Monday, Kraft flew journalists, congressional staffers, and environmental advocates over remote, roadless areas of the Willamette National Forest, which could soon lose protection. In an announcement this summer, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Brooke L. Rollins said repealing the roadless rule would align with several of the Trump administration's priorities, including getting rid of burdensome regulations and reducing America's reliance on foreign timber. In a hearing before Congress in July, U.S. Forest Service Chief Tom Schultz said roads are needed to fight wildfires.
By not being able to have areas that we can go into and manage or be able to put the fires out, that is a problem. So it doesn't help for sure, and it definitely hinders.
In a separate announcement, Schultz argued roadless rules, which have been in place since 2001, have trapped the nation's forests in a cycle of, quote, neglect and devastation. Back on the ground, Tim Inglesby, executive director of Firefighters United for Safety, Ethics, and Ecology, says he anticipates building roads will increase the chance that those remote, hard-to-reach areas will burn.
90% or more wildfires happen alongside roads. What they might gain from the possibility of ferrying in large convoys of firefighters and dozers and all that stuff, they're going to lose in terms of vastly more wildfire ignitions from careless motorists or campers or arsonists.
Field organizer for environmental group Cascadia Wildlands, Madeline Cowan, says roadless areas shelter endangered species or animals like cougars that are no longer welcome near growing urban and suburban cities. She says roadless areas are also an important part of Oregon's ecosystem in other ways.
Many communities in rural places get their drinking water from areas that are roadless. And we know that increased logging and road building in watersheds really dramatically affects drinking water quality for communities. Additionally, these areas are storing and sequestering carbon that is so difficult to do.
According to the USDA, the agency is looking to roll back roadless protection on 45 million acres. In Oregon, there are about 2 million acres of designated roadless area. I'm Rebecca Hansen-White, reporting.
You're listening to KMUN. I'm News Director Katie Frankowitz. KMUN's fall pledge drive ended on Tuesday, and we made our $80,000 goal. In fact, we know we'll be exceeding that goal based on money that's been promised and is still making its way to us. I know a huge part of this outpouring comes from the fear of losing what we all have built here. The federal rescission bill this summer clawed back around 20% of our budget, and that will certainly continue to have repercussions. All public and community radio and media right now is in a very strange place. But I want to focus on this positive thing. You all stepped up. We heard from people who had never donated before, people who hadn't donated in a while, people who wanted to increase what they are already contributing monthly. The energy, the excitement even, was palpable. It's a confusing time, it's a dark time in a lot of ways, but I feel like it's also really a time of clarity. The work we're doing here to delight, to inform, and to build something for and by our community, that is the work. And now is the time to buckle down and do it and not draw back from it. We will, of course, continue to accept donations. Go to kmun.org or call us at 503-325-0010. Thanks for tuning in to your community radio station.
You are listening to news from KMUN. To hear us on the air and catch national news from NPR, tune in to 91.9 FM. Morning news begins at 7:59 every weekday. And of course, you will always be able to find today's local and regional news here at kmun.org. To contact the KMUN News Department, email us at news1@kmun.org. That's news, the numeral 1, at kmun.org.